This foundation is also described in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 to 15. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Peter tells us Jesus Christ is a stone that was rejected. He was rejected by the Jews. He was rejected by the Gentiles, the Romans, at that time. When Jesus took the sins of the world upon himself, even his own father rejected him, at least for a little while. But because he himself was sinless, God raised him up and placed him as the cornerstone. He is the foundation. There is no other foundation upon which we can build our lives. Any other foundation would be flawed. Peter also tells us no one can avoid the cornerstone. You are either going to trip and stumble over it and reject him, or you are going to accept him and build your life upon him. Not just on his teaching, but on the person of Jesus. No one can ignore him forever. The day will come when all men will have to give an answer. In verse 5, we are also reminded to build up a spiritual house. Now, some of us may know I do my own business. I design and build machines for a living. Now, in the design phase, we always have a design reference. This reference is very important. This is the point in which all other submodules will take reference from. From here, when all the modules are finished, they are joined together to form the whole production line. If this design reference is wrong, you can imagine the whole machine will never be in line and will never function at all. In Life Church, we are building the spiritual church of God. As believers, we have the responsibility to evangelize, to share the gospel, to bring souls as lively stones. Now, stones are dead by itself, but they are called lively stones when they take reference from the living stones. We were dead in trespasses before God saves us and given us a Holy Spirit, and where we become alive, we become lively stones. After we become lively stones, we are to be fitted into the spiritual house of God to fit everyone into various ministry and the service of God. Today we face almost a calamity. These lively stones have difficulty to be fitted into the church wall or building. There are questions we need to ask ourselves. After we are saved, we have a choice we need to make. First, are we willing to build ourselves on Christ as the cornerstone? Are we building on Christ as the cornerstone or on some other foundation? Building on Jesus means we put our faith in him. It also means we set our lives according to his instructions. We line up our lives and purpose according to his will for us. Secondly, do we allow God to work on our rough edges to be built into God's spiritual house? Stones that come out of a quarry usually are not ready to be used for building. They need to be chiseled, formed to fit the location where it's supposed to be placed. Without taking off the rough edges, it makes it difficult to set stably on the foundation. It is also difficult for any other stones to rest next to it or on top of it. Yes, we have this problem of aligning ourselves to others. We see our own methods and experience better and more reliable. My way is better and more comfortable. When someone else's method or suggestions are adopted, we get jealous, we get discouraged, and we resign. We refuse to take part of the work simply because we cannot fit in. We are not willing to chip off, to make adjustment in order to fit in to the house of God. Now, in my machine building work, we also have a nice long production lines, and each machine is made up of many other smaller components. Now, when it's fully assembled, fully functional, it is a beautiful machine. Even with one screw is missing, the whole machine cannot run. And next to this functional machine, sadly, as with every project, there is a pile of rejected parts. These parts cannot fit into the machine, well, due to various design errors, or there are design changes as required by the customer, we usually don't throw away these parts as it can be of some use in future. So we have a big pile of scrap metal waiting to be recycled. When will it be useful? We do not know. We just keep it and we'll try to use it whenever the opportunity comes. But in God's kingdom, there are no rejected parts or scrap parts. All, yes, all are good and lively stones. All are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, precious in the eye of God. They are to be fitted in the house of God. However, in reality, perhaps we have only 20% of members fitted into the spiritual house of God, and the remaining 80% are piled up at the backyard, waiting to be fitted. Well, some have tried many times, but to no avail. Some refuse to endure the chiseling and polishing process in order to be fitted. The imagery Peter is giving us is a human version of the temple in Jerusalem. It's interesting that today, if you go to Jerusalem, you can go down to see Solomon's temple was built. And they say in some places they had stones that weighed tens of thousands of kilos, yet you can't even slip a piece of paper in between them. They were perfectly shaped to fit together into a foundation for God's temple. Now, even when we are saved by God through Jesus, we still have some rough edges in our life, in our speech, in our attitude, in our anger management, and our self-centeredness and our pride. We still have not yet changed. Jesus has given us a new life. He has forgiven us our sins, but our attitudes and behaviors have yet to reflect the new life. Of course, we are in the process of sanctification, and chiseling off our rough edges sometimes can be painful. We can't do this on our own strength, but we can allow God to do it. As we are reminded in 1 Peter 1:16, because it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy," God saith. Be holy because I'm holy. In your new life in Christ, we are meant to be set apart for Him. That's what it means to be holy, set apart for God. Our life should reflect the cornerstone. We are citizens of God's kingdom, not our cultures, not the way we do things. So we must ask each ourselves, am I willing to be shaped and used as living stone for God's purpose? Am I allowing God to take off the sharp edges which do not reflect Him so He can fit us into where He wants us? As living stones building on Christ, the cornerstone, we should notice that we are not alone. God is a building, is a spiritual house. In verse 5 says, one stone does not make a house. One stone can't even make a wall. The Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to Ephesus about how we together are built on Christ, the cornerstone, to become God's holy temple. Ephesians verse 2, chapter 2, verse 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. It begins with Christ as a cornerstone, then the apostles, the prophets, who form the foundation, and then we as living stones built upon this foundation, on top of those who have gone before us in the faith, and next to each other to form a spiritual house, as Peter calls it, or a holy temple, as Paul calls it. You can imagine this is a big house with lots of stones, each representing the billions of Christians in years past and today. Together, we become God's new living temple. We become the place where God lives by His Spirit. However, too often in our individualistic Christian culture, we have been taught that so long as I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit lives in me, and therefore, all I need is myself and Jesus. I don't need other Christians. But not more often in the scripture, it says, together we are dwelling in place or temple of the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, 20, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." In order to experience God's power and presence of His Spirit, we need to be together. So we need to continue to meet together in worship, in Bible studies, fellowship, or prayer meetings like this. When we do that, we draw closer to God through the power of the Holy Spirit. We are part of a church that is so much bigger than ourselves. The biblical church has a reference taken from the Holy Spirit of God. The church is not a building, the church is the people of God. God chooses to work through the church. And I believe God is working powerfully through us, even in our times. But in order for the power of the Spirit to manifest, requires us to work together to accomplish it. That is why Peter goes on to say in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, "We are built up a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood offering spiritual sacrifices." We are a holy priesthood offering spiritual sacrifices. Jesus has made one-time sacrifice for all of us by taking our sins upon himself. We all have become priests. We are all able to do God's work. God has gifted each one of us with talents, with skills, with abilities, so that we can work together to accomplish God's mission. We don't need to sit and wait for someone else to do it for us. We don't need to sit and wait for someone from the pile of stones that is lying in the backyard to do it. We don't need to sit and wait for the church camp to be inspired and act together. We have already been equipped with everything we need right here, right now, to serve and encourage each other and to minister to one another. Why? Because together we have the Holy Spirit. We just need to act upon our faith and to do it. We need to use what God has given us to accomplish His mission. Now, God is inviting us, all of us, to offer up our spiritual sacrifices. What are these sacrifices? What are the some spiritual sacrifices God expects us to make? Number one, gifts and talents. We have repeated this 1,000 times. Yes. God gives us abilities for a reason, so we should use them for His purpose and not for our own selfish gain. Number two, praise. Show forth praises of Him who have called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We center our lives around continual praise to God. This is how we make sacrifice of praise. Number three, financial gifts. We give all our tithes and offerings. In Philippians 4:18, "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent forth from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." So here we are instructed to offer our money and possessions freely to help spread the gospel. Sometimes we do not know what to give. There is no project in church. There isn't another builder house that we're going to buy. Sometimes we are lost. We do not know what to put our offerings to. But let's pray. There will be things that God wants us to do. So we just give sacrificially. Number four, love one another. Sometimes it is a sacrifice to love others because we may not like them. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2 commanded us, "And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor." So we offer love to God and to others. Point number five, we do good and share freely with others. We communicate. In Hebrews 13:16, "But do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifice, God is well pleased." We oftentimes fail in our relationship because we fail to communicate. We assume, we do not share our thoughts freely to one another. So we build up walls and we become strangers. Although we see each other in church every Sunday, our relationship are so superficial. Yeah, to say the least. So let us put in our effort to get to know one another better. The final point is this, for ourselves. In Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So we offer ourselves, our bodies, our minds, our wills, to God's control. We offer our gifts and talents back to Him. So let me close by reading from Psalm 118, verses 22 to 24. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We rejoice this day because the Lord has made it, yes, but we also rejoice because the stone of the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Have we chosen to rest on this cornerstone? Are we being the living temple where the Spirit dwells as we regularly gather with other Christian believers? Are we giving God our spiritual sacrifices by using our gifts and talents to serve one another? So may the Lord help us to be lively stones. Let us pray. Eternal God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that you have given us the Holy Spirit. And from a dead stone, a useless stone, we have become a lively stone, fitted and useful to be part of God's house. So Lord, we ask for your grace and mercy, even as we find ourselves not fitting to be fitted in your house, that we be willing to be chiseled up, to be polished, and to be ready one day to be fitted in and to take the glory of your temple. So Lord, we ask for your forgiveness, that you wash us clean so that we can be of service to you. All this we pray and give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.